Here is a number that should bother you more than it does. Before 2019, roughly 70% of the Earth's surface had no air traffic surveillance at all. None. Not radar, not anything. If you were flying across the North Atlantic, or the Pacific, or over the poles or across most of Africa and the Southern Ocean, the system tracking your airplane was essentially a controller with a paper strip, a clock, and a radio he could only reach if you were close enough. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about how that changed and about the 66 satellites that quietly rewrote the map of what the ground can see. Let's break this down. This segment is supported by AviationSold.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. If there's a moment in your flying you want to hold on to, that's what these are for. AviationSold.com. Now, to understand why space-based surveillance is such a big deal, you have to understand the hole it fills. We've talked before on this show about Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast, ADS-B, quick refresher. Your airplane takes its own position from onboard Global Positioning System, GPS, and once a second it broadcasts that position out to the world. Where I am, how high, how fast, which direction. Automatic, because you don't do anything dependent. Because it depends on your own navigation solution rather than a radar beam bouncing off your skin. It's a beautiful system, it's cheaper than radar, it's more accurate than radar, and it updates far faster than a radar antenna that has to physically sweep around every several seconds. But here's the catch, and it's a big one. ADS-B out is just a radio transmission. That 1 second broadcast on 1090 MHz goes out in every direction at the speed of light, and then it's gone. Somebody has to be listening on land. That somebody is a network of ground receiving stations. The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, built out hundreds of them across the United States. Line of sight. Your signal reaches a ground station, the ground station feeds it into the system, and a controller sees you. Line of sight is the whole problem. Radio at these frequencies does not bend around the curve of the Earth. It goes straight. So a ground station can only hear airplanes out to the horizon. And the higher you are, the farther that horizon is. But there's always a limit. Put a ground station on a coastline and it can see maybe 200 miles out over the water. Beyond that, the airplane drops below the radio horizon and the station goes deaf. Now go look at a map of the North Atlantic. There's no place to put a ground station in the middle of the ocean. There's no place to put one over the Pacific or over the Sahara or over Antarctica. And that is why for the entire history of aviation, up until very recently, the busiest oceanic airspace on the planet was managed the same way it was managed in the 1950s, by procedure. Here's what that actually looked like. Over the North Atlantic, airplanes were funneled into an organized set of tracks, the North Atlantic tracks, that shift every day with the winds. And because no controller could actually see the airplanes, they had to be kept apart by huge margins. We're talking longitudinal separation measured in minutes of flying time, 10 minutes, sometimes more, and lateral spacing of 60 nautical miles or more between tracks. The airplane would report its position by radio at set waypoints. I'm crossing 30 west at this time. This altitude, estimating the next fix at that time. The controller would write it on a strip and do the math in his head, or on a computer that was still working off a position report that might be 40 minutes old by the time the next one came in. Think about what that means. If two airplanes are on the same track and the one in front wants to climb to catch a better tailwind and there's another airplane behind him, the controller can't just look at a screen and see that it's safe. He has no screen, he has estimates. So the answer is very often no. Stay where you are, burn the extra fuel. That's the world space-based ADS-B walked into. Here's the idea, and it's one of those ideas that sounds obvious the second you hear it. If the problem is that we can't build a ground station in the middle of the ocean, then don't build it on the ground. Put the receiver in orbit. From up there, the receiver isn't limited by the horizon. It's looking down at a whole hemisphere at once. Your airplane is already transmitting that ADS-B signal once a second in every direction, and that includes up. The signal is going to space whether anybody's listening or not. So put something up there to listen. The company that did it is called Aireon. And the elegant part, The part I really want you to appreciate as a systems thing is how they got their receivers into orbit. They didn't launch a dedicated fleet, they hitched a ride. Around the same time this was being planned, the satellite phone company Iridium was replacing its entire constellation. The original Iridium satellites from the 1990s were aging out, and Iridium was building a next-generation replacement called Iridium Next, 66 operational satellites in low Earth orbit, plus spares, arranged in 6 orbital planes that together blanket the entire planet, poles included. Iridium had to launch all of them anyway, so Ariane put an ADS-B receiver payload on every single one of those satellites as a hosted payload, a passenger. The data tells an interesting story here about why low Earth orbit matters. These satellites orbit at roughly 780 kilometers, call it 480 miles up. That's low, as satellites go. Low enough that the faint 1 second broadcast from your transponder can actually make it up there and be detected. And because there are 66 of them in a web that covers the whole globe, there is always one overhead, everywhere, all the time, over the ocean, over the pole, over the desert. The receiver that used to sit on a coastline now flies overhead, no matter where you are. Those satellites went up on a series of launches between 2017 and 2019, and Ariane's system went fully operational in the spring of 2019. The first customers to use it operationally were NAV Canada and the United Kingdom's Air Navigation Service, NATS, because they jointly managed that busy North Atlantic airspace we were just talking about. And the very first thing they did with it was reduce the separation minimums. Here's the payoff. In that oceanic airspace, with real surveillance for the first time, controllers went from separation measured in tens of minutes down to, in the best case, distance-based separation of around 14 nautical miles between aircraft and trail. That is a staggering change. You can fit far more airplanes on the good tracks now. More airplanes get the altitude they actually want, which means they burn less fuel, which means less carbon out the back. NAV Canada and NATS have reported real, measurable fuel savings and emissions reductions across the North Atlantic since they turned it on. And here's the part that matters to safety. When an airplane over the ocean now has a problem, the controller can see it, not estimate it, see it, updating in near real time. There's a story that sits underneath all of this, and it's worth telling honestly because it's part of why this system exists. In March of 2014, Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 vanished. A Boeing 777 with 239 people aboard, gone somewhere over the southern Indian Ocean, in exactly the kind of airspace we've been describing. No radar, no surveillance, and the world discovered, to its horror, that in the 21st century, a wide-body airliner could simply disappear off the face of the Earth and we would not know where it went. That tragedy became a powerful argument. If every airplane is already broadcasting its position once a second, why on Earth is nobody listening over the ocean? Space-based ADS-B is a large part of the answer the industry gave to that question. Ariane offers a global aircraft location service, and one piece of it is a free service for search and rescue authorities. If an aircraft equipped with ADS-B goes missing, those authorities can request its last known positions from the constellation. It doesn't undo what happened, but it means the 70% blind spot, the one that swallowed that airplane, is a lot smaller than it was. Now, let's be balanced, because that's the promise. Here's what I want you to hold in the other hand. First, this only works if the airplane is transmitting. Space-based ADS-B is still ADS-B. It is dependent surveillance. If a transponder is off or fails or is deliberately disabled, the satellite has nothing to hear. It does not solve the problem of an aircraft that stops broadcasting. It is not radar which paints you whether you cooperate or not. So for the security and intercept world, this is a complement to primary radar, not a replacement for it. Here's what most people miss. The whole system rests on the airplane telling the truth about where it is and getting that position from GPS, which is its own single point of failure we've discussed on this show before. Second, it depends on the constellation. Those 66 satellites are the whole game, and they're commercially operated. The air navigation service providers are buying a service from a private company that shares a satellite bus with a satellite phone business. That's a very modern arrangement, and mostly, it's a strength. It got the thing built and launched for a fraction of a dedicated system. But it does mean the surveillance of a huge chunk of the world's oceanic airspace now runs through commercial infrastructure in low Earth orbit. That's a resilience question worth asking out loud. Third, and this is the honest engineering caveat, Receiving these signals from orbit is genuinely hard. Your transponder was designed to be heard a couple hundred miles away by a ground station, not 480 miles up by a satellite moving at 17,000 miles an hour. While thousands of other airplanes in the same footprint are all transmitting on the same frequency and stepping on each other. The engineering to pull individual aircraft out of that noise is serious signal processing. It works, and it works well, but it's a reminder that just put a receiver in space is a sentence that hides about a decade of very hard problems. So where does this go from here? The near term is expansion of who uses it. It started over the North Atlantic, but the whole point is that the coverage is already global. The satellites see the Pacific, the South Atlantic, the polar routes, the wide stretches of Africa and South America and Asia that never had surveillance. The rollout now is less about technology and more about individual countries and regions deciding to adopt it, integrate it into their control centers, and rewrite their separation procedures to take advantage of it. That's slow, careful work, as it should be. You don't casually cut separation minimums over an ocean. The longer-term picture is what I find genuinely interesting as an engineer. For a century, air traffic surveillance was a story about the ground. Bigger antennas, more ground stations, better coverage from below. Space-based ADS-B flips the geometry. The eye in the sky is now literally in the sky, looking down at the whole hemisphere, and the ground station on the coastline is starting to look like the old way of doing things. Combine that with the trend toward more automated trajectory-based air traffic management, where the system is managing four-dimensional flight paths rather than a controller eyeballing blips, and you can see the shape of where this is heading: global, seamless, and no more blind 70%. The airplane you fly probably will never touch oceanic airspace. But the next time you're cruising along and you see yourself on ADS-B traffic, I want you to appreciate what's actually happening. That same little once-a-second broadcast coming out of your airplane, the one a ground station hears out to the horizon, is the exact same signal that a satellite 480 miles overhead is using to keep a 777 safe in the middle of an ocean where no controller could ever see it before. Same technology, same 1 second. It just found a much better place to put the receiver. My thanks to Aireon, to Nav Canada and NATS, and to the FAA for the surveillance data and history behind this one. You can find more at radiohangar.com. This has been Clear Direct. I'm Vector, reminding you that the most powerful thing in that whole system is still an airplane, once a second, quietly telling the truth about where it is. See you next time.